This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Now, here's the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, food psychology coach and best-selling author, Janelle McCauley.
Hi, and welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm Janelle McCauley, and I'm so glad you joined me today. My promise to you is that if you take action on the information we provide each week, you will transform your health and your life. Before I introduce my guest for today's show, I want to invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and download your free ebook, Overcoming Portion Distortion. It's packed with quick and easy ideas for making family mealtime friendly, fun, and healthy. So get your copy today at eatgreatlivewellradio.com. We've got another great show planned for you today. I'm really excited. So grab a pen and paper and your favorite beverage and let's get started. My guest on today's show is registered dietitian and board certified specialist in oncology nutrition, Terry Taylor. Terry is passionate about translating the science of nutrition into practical, everyday lifestyle habits for cancer prevention and survival. She has her own practice where she helps patients with individual nutrition counseling as well as nutrition and cooking classes. If that weren't enough, Terry is also a nutrition educator for the well-respected Virginia C. Piper Cancer Center in Scottsdale, Arizona. She has some great tips and recipes to share with us that will help you create the healthy life you deserve. I know you're going to find today's conversation inspiring. Welcome to the show, Terry.
Thank you so much, Janelle. It's a pleasure to be able to share with you and with all your listeners.
Well, I'm so excited to have you on today's show. I got the privilege and pleasure of hearing you recently talk and share. And, you know, I just love the fact that at the end, there were so many people talking about how simple you made everything and how they could really see making some simple shifts can have a big impact. And I love that. That's why we have these conversations.
I appreciate that. I think we share the same future and the same ideas as far as eating healthy, and it doesn't have to be hard. You know, there are so many things that we can do that are very easy, that we can improve our eating habits and sustain them for a long time without it being a lot of work or without it being a lot of time or money.
Absolutely. We both agree on that. And I'd love to start our conversation by asking you to tell our listeners just a little bit more about your background and what it means to be an oncology nutritionist.
Oh, I'm happy to tell you that. I appreciate that question. Just to let you know, I am a registered dietitian, and I work at Honor Health. I have been here for quite a while, and initially started out inpatient when it was Scottsdale Memorial Hospital, and found my passion for oncology at that time. One of the units that I had was actually the oncology unit, and I found that working with oncology patients was so very rewarding. It really draws on all of your clinical and behavior and psychological skills, so I found it really challenging and felt that that was the niche that I wanted to pursue. And luckily, being with a wonderful organization, they pursued more oncology services and eventually opened an outpatient area. And so I now work in the outpatient area at the Virginia G. Piper Cancer Center and have the privilege of seeing clients on an individual basis and doing classes and community events, both for cancer prevention and survivorship. But my main focus is that I really want to be able to help clients be able to do these things in a livable way, in a way that works with their lifestyle and that they can continue to do so that they can reap the benefits. And that being said, I did pursue becoming a board-certified specialist in oncology nutrition, which is through the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. And what that actually means is that not only being a registered dietitian, you want to specialize in areas that are of specific importance and passion to you. And that, again, for me is oncology. So to become a board-certified specialist in oncology nutrition, it requires having at least 2 years of clinical practice with a documented 2,000 hours of specific practice in oncology. And then from there, a certification exam is provided, and once you pass that, then you can be a board-certified specialist in oncology nutrition, and then it requires recertification every 5 years. So the bottom line is that very important, especially if you are you or a friend or a family member or a loved one is dealing with an oncology issue, it's really important to go to someone who specializes in that area so that they can tailor your nutrition plan to the specific treatments and goals that are being decided between you and your caregivers and your health professionals.
Do you find that different types of, if someone has a certain type of cancer, that it has a different nutrition regimen?
Yes, that's a really important question. When we look at cancers, we all could be doing treatment, I'm doing chemotherapy or I'm doing radiation treatment or whatever the case may be, but specific treatment regimens, number one, have different potential symptoms or side effects that I, as a practitioner, like to be very proactive and give strategies to prevent those side effects. Mm-hmm. So, again, knowing specifically what the treatment plan is, we can gear that nutrition plan to minimize those side effects. Also very interesting, we are finding that certain cancers respond in different ways to different types of nutrients. So, for example, we have here at Honor Health in our research department, we have a very well-renowned and very active pancreatic cancer program. And so what we're finding in the lab, which is very unusual, is we are finding that pancreatic cancer cells actually do better with some of the solid saturated fats, so we're recommending things like butter or coconut oil as opposed to olive oil, which most people are using. We're finding that actually the solid saturated fats do not provide the fuel for those pancreatic cancer cells to grow. So again, that's a very specialized type of nutrition for that type of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And the same can be said for different types of cancers, where certain types of foods are recommended to help reduce the chances of those cells continuing to grow and to keep people in remission.
That's really actually very fascinating, because that tends to, you know, that goes against what most people think, you know, eat this kind of fat, stay away from this kind of fat. But when you're dealing with a specialized health challenge, I think whether it's cancer or any type of health challenge, I think that it's really important to make sure you know what you should be eating and what you shouldn't be eating, because it does fuel your body very differently depending on what you're dealing with.
Exactly. And, you know, we want to make sure that we're supporting the body so that those treatments can be more effective. And so supporting it with things that are going to, again, make your body do better with the treatment and work with that treatment to potentially get rid of the cancer, is we all want to be doing that together. And so it's an integrative type of approach. And I think many times we get so focused on the medical part that we forget about that whole part of well-being as part of that and quality of life. And so incorporating a specific nutrition plan, some physical activity, and some things for mind, body, spirit relaxation is very integral to do feel better during your treatment and hopefully having the most optimal outcome.
Do different doctors take a different approach to this? So is the food side of it integrated into all sorts, you know, when you go see an oncologist, do they also really go to the food side also, or is that something that someone would really have to ask for?
My suggestion would be, as a client, to bring that up to your physician.
Mm-hmm.
And the best thing that your physician can do is actually give you a reputable resource to go to, like a board-certified specialist in oncology nutrition, so that then you can sit down and really get into the nuts and bolts of what's important to you and what things are going to be best for your body and put those things together. So I really continue to suggest that patients become their advocates and bring that up to their physician, because there's a lot of things that are happening in those appointments with your physicians as far as, you know, diagnosis and treatment and lab results and x-ray results and all of those things. So we want to make sure that you're not missing out on that very integral part of nutrition. So I would recommend that people bring that up to their physicians and then get a referral, a reputable referral. And just to let you know, here at our cancer center, we are open to all clients in the community or from around the country. You don't have to be receiving treatment in our facility to have access to our integrative programs.
Oh, that's really nice. Do most of the doctors, are they pretty open to then working with a nutritionist? Because you need to know what kind of medicine people are on, what kind of treatments they're getting, or do you get all of that directly from the patient?
I get it both ways. I get medical notes from the physicians that, of course, tell me, and, of course, information from the referrals. And then I also like to get the perspective from the client as well as to what things they're experiencing and what things are important to them, because they're such an integral part of that care team. And again, it does make a difference with what types of treatments people are receiving, what the potential side effects might be, and some things that might not be appropriate with some of the treatments in terms of certain types of supplemental products that might interfere with the way that the treatments are working.
Interesting. I think there's, and it's changed so much. When my mom had had cancer, and she's been gone 6 years, but I know that when she started her treatment, it was very different than when it ended. And you get so many different pieces of input, so many people telling you what to do, how to do it. And I love the fact that you really say that patients need to become their own advocate, because there's so many choices to make and there's so much information to take in that you really need an expert who can help you and, you know, help you kind of wade through all of it and know what's going to be best for you.
Yes, you know, there's a lot of information out there. We have so many sources now. You can go on the internet and get information. You hear from people, you know, all with best intentions. And it's like, how do we sort that out? And, you know, let's take a step back and see what's appropriate for you and what might not be appropriate at that time. So, and you get a lot of information, again, from your physicians, and it is very overwhelming. So that's why when you can actually sit down and go through that and then follow up, it's really important to be monitored throughout your treatment so that we can make changes. And sometimes it might be, we're going to do this for this treatment, and then once that's completed, we're going to move on and adjust things because now you're on a different treatment, or perhaps you're done with treatment, and let's go ahead and look at living a very, very healthy life moving forward. So it is a bit of a roller coaster for sure. And I will agree with you, Janelle, that there have been so many advances when we look at in oncology treatment and nutrition over the years, and it's just growing and growing and growing. So many more targeted therapies and so many more things, as I mentioned to you, about some specifics as far as types of nutrients to eat. So it's a very, very busy time for oncology treatment and a very exciting time because we are seeing so many, many improvements in the treatments that people are receiving.
No, absolutely. We need to take a real quick break. And when we come back, I want to just shift just a little bit, because I know one of the things that you really stress is a plant-based diet. So I want to talk a little bit about that and some of the health benefits that people can get from that. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Never has there been a better time for women to hack success. The shift is on and the breakthroughs are real. We're taking success to a whole nother level. Join us at the Women's Success Summit, a gathering of dynamic, smart women helping women. We want to learn about you and what you have to offer. Bring your A game and be prepared to transact some business. Oh, and by all means, dress to impress.
Register at eWomenNetwork.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maish Seibel, a leading authority on women's wellness and menopause. A recent article in the New England Journal of Medicine found that most women are confused or afraid of estrogen, and many doctors aren't comfortable treating them. My new book, called The Estrogen Window, just hit number one bestseller status on Amazon. Find out what women are so excited about. Order your copy now at estrogenwindowbook.com and become a partner in your healthcare.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Terry Taylor, and she's an oncology nutritionist. And before the break, we were talking about the importance of when you're dealing with cancer or a health challenge, really being your own advocate as a patient, because there's so many new things that are being discovered that you can do, and a lot of foods that you might think are good for you may not be, depending on what you're dealing with. So it's really important to have an expert like Terry that you can really use as a resource. You know, I love to, Terry, ask my guests, what motivates you to live healthy and share your message about healthy living with others? We call it your big why. So what is your big why, and how has it motivated you to live healthier and to help people live healthier?
Well, I think in thinking about that, number one, there are so many things in our lives that we don't have any control over. And one of the things that we can really have input in is to what we put in our bodies and the choices that we make with that. And so I really have found that both through my practice and through my own personal life, that when I include healthy foods, I feel better, I'm doing something to reduce my risk of diseases, and that helps me psychologically as well, mm-hmm. as well as physically. And I really find that my clients are very motivating to me as well. Number one, to be a dietitian, I have to believe in the power of foods, and I definitely believe in the power of foods. And so in order for me to be true to my clients, I feel that I need to be living that same way and experiencing things that I have challenges with that then I can work through and provide guidance as well. So many times now, my clients are some of my biggest motivators because I'm trying to help them and to and kind of support them as well as myself. So again, I really feel that what has changed for me is feeling that I have control, because some things we can't control, some of the things in the environment we're exposed to, you know, some of us get medical challenges for no reason at all. So I like to be able to be thinking about what I'm doing in my lifestyle to have a little bit of control. And, you know, we talk so much about in different areas, like our cars. It's like, okay, we better put the best oil in our car, or put the best gasoline in, or, you know, we want to have the peak performance from those things. But we neglect ourselves, and we don't think of putting the best things in our bodies to give ourselves our peak performance. And being on top of that is really important for me. And so that's why I practice eating healthier foods. And including a lot of exercise as well.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I often use that same example. Why do people take care of their cars so much better than their body? Your car you can replace. I guess you can replace some body parts, but they're not as good as the originals. But it's almost like we don't think about it as seriously as we do the material possessions around us.
Isn't that the truth? I love that you're saying that because it's so true. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, I've got to get the best for this. And, oh, you know, I've got to make sure I've got the best thing to make this run the best and everything. And it's like, now let's wait a minute. What about ourselves? We're not going to be able to get in that car if we're not healthy.
I know. And I think everyone really needs to find what helps them work. I was having a conversation with someone recently, and I just got a Garmin not too long ago. And yes, I know I'm supposed to get up and exercise and move and walk. But for me, what I find the biggest shift is having something in front of me that reminds me. Because I know for me, I know what to do and I can do it. But I need a certain type of reminder. And for me, it reminds me that I've been sitting down. And it's so funny because I can put, you know, 2,000 steps, you know, before I even get started with work because it makes me get up and walk to the other end of the house or go do things that other, I might say, oh, I'll do it later, but I want those steps. I encourage people to find what motivates them and what little triggers they need to make those healthy choices.
I agree because, you know, that out of sight, out of mind thing is very, very easy to fall into. And whatever, it's exploring yourself and whatever is going to make that light come on to make those healthy choices come about. And so many times maybe people get too overwhelmed and try and do too many things at once.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get so, you know, they get so frustrated. It's like, well, I can't do all this, you know. And sometimes it's just paring it down to one or two small things, and those small little changes are going to make a big difference. When you're mentioning about getting up, we're finding that now the researchers call being sedentary all day, even going to work out at the gym in the morning, but then sitting the rest of the day, is as big a risk for diseases as cigarette smoking. It's like sitting is a new cigarette smoking. So anything that is a reminder to you to get up, or it's like, okay, I don't need to, you know, I can go talk to someone, I don't need to email them, or I can get up and get that glass of water or whatever. Getting up is very important because it reduces the inflammation in the body, which again reduces the cancer risk. So if we're looking at foods, it's the same thing. It's like, okay, maybe I should have these things available. When I open up my refrigerator, if I have some of those foods right in the front, I'm more likely to grab them than if they're way hidden in the back or in your cupboard. So some simple little reminders like that can make a huge difference. And when you can continue to do those on a day-to-day basis, that's when you get the best results because you're living it. And that's what we're talking about, living these things, not just, you know, doing it for a few days. We're trying to make it's something that becomes part of you, part of your habits. And it doesn't have to be 100% of the time, but again, trying to make it who you are and making it part of what you can do on an easy day-to-day basis.
Absolutely. And I think even having fruit in the front of your refrigerator, letting it where the kids can go and easily grab it, because they're going to grab what's in front. They're going to grab what's easy to get to. And I think the younger you start to build those healthy habits, the better everyone is.
You are so on target, Janelle, because, you know, our children, if we look at what's happening in our population now, where children are getting diabetes and getting high blood pressure and having obesity issues at younger and younger ages. And so if we can institute or encourage them and teach them to actually eat more plant foods from the beginning, those are going to be their lifelong habits. And to do it in a way that it's fun for them, they participate in it, it's part of who your family is and what you do, that's what makes it so great for keeping them healthy, because we're finding out that many times some of the things when we have children that are obese, you know, in adolescence, those are going to lead to higher risks of cancers and seeing cancers in younger aged people. So starting out on a good foot is really important. also, I liked your idea of, you know, if that fruit's right there, and even taking a step further, if it's already cut up, mm-hmm. you know, those types of things, something as simple as that, oh, let's make sure that those vegetables are already cut up, so when we open the refrigerator, we can just take them out and eat them. Because sometimes, I know myself, it's like, oh, I've got these vegetables in that bin. Do I really feel like cutting them out? Cutting them up now? No. Mm. So then it's so easy just to bypass them. So having them ready to go, having them available, having them in different ways so they don't get boring, mm-hmm. getting a variety is really key to really maintaining a plant-based eating style.
Absolutely. And can you share, because I know you really do stress that plant-based eating style, what are some of the health benefits of eating more plant foods?
So when we look at plant foods have a variety of components in them that are very important for reducing disease risk. Some of those things would be phytochemicals, so those are plant-based compounds that are naturally found in all of your plant foods, so in things like fruits and vegetables and legumes and nuts and seeds, whole grains, all those products have phytochemicals in them. And these phytochemicals work in many different ways to reduce the risk of diseases. Many diseases are fueled by what we call chronic low-grade inflammation, which is something you've probably heard about mm-hmm. and your listeners as well. And what that is, it's just kind of like your immune system being like the Energizer bunny. It's kind of on overload. And so when you get a cut or something like that, you get some redness. That's your immune system, your white blood cells coming to your rescue to heal that area. But unfortunately, some of the things that are in our lifestyles today, like stress or not enough activity or a lot of processed foods, exposures in the environment, they create a low-grade type of inflammation that kind of keeps fueling and fueling and fueling and can actually promote the growth of cancer cells or hardening of the arteries or some changes in the immune system, which can result in things like Alzheimer's. So phytochemicals work to reduce inflammation. They also work, there are very highly charged particles in our body called free radicals. And these free radicals love to go in and change genetics of cells to turn them into cancer cells or to create, again, more inflammation, which leads to heart disease and diabetes and Alzheimer's. So all of these plant-based foods have what we call the phytochemicals, which actually bind the free radicals. I call them like the housekeepers in your body. They go in and they take those free radicals and they get rid of them in your system. So very important from that standpoint. Plant foods are also great sources of fiber. And fiber is the part of the food that, of course, isn't digested very well through our system. And the fiber has great benefits in terms of binding hormones in the body that can potentially lead to things like diabetes and cancer and heart disease. So fiber can bind things, can bind certain hormones like insulin-like growth factor or high amounts of insulin, excess amounts that aren't being used by the body, or they can bind hormones like estrogens, which sometimes can fuel cancers like breast cancers. And so the fiber works to bind those hormones, get them rid of out of your system, binding cholesterol to get that out of your system so that they're not there to lead to chronic diseases, or even if you had some of these diseases, to help manage those situations much better. So phytochemicals and fiber are very important components of plant foods that actually help to reduce the risk of many chronic diseases. The other thing is when we look at fiber, it's very helpful in keeping us full. And if we're more full and we actually listen to our body when we are full, that can be a great help for weight management. And, of course, we know that weight gain, being overweight or obese, is a major risk factor for many diseases, probably the biggest risk factor. And also a great new area that we're finding a lot of research in is called the gut microbiome. So that is the balance of good bacteria that's in your gut. And we find now that when that is unbalanced, it leads to things like obesity and certain diseases. So when you have fiber, that fiber actually fuels the good bacteria in your gut to help keep it in better balance.
I love the way that you explained it in such a simpler way, so it makes sense of all of the benefits. And I want to continue this conversation and really talk about how much plant-based food people should get. But we need to take another quick break. And when we come back, I want to just really continue this conversation. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Terry Taylor and having a great conversation before the break. If you missed it, you really want to go back and listen to it. We were talking about phytochemicals. We were talking about fiber. We were talking about how it keeps you full. And I love the fact that, you know, when I was doing one-on-one coaching, and I would always ask people, how do you know you're full? And so often, they say when their plate's empty. And, you know, I really, really challenge people to identify what physical hunger is versus emotional hunger and really start to listen to your body. It gives us so many signals and so many warnings that something's not good for us, or that, you know, we've had enough, or that we need something. It seems like so often we get busy and we just don't listen to our bodies.
I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, one of the biggest practices when we actually look at eating and weight control and feeling satisfied and preventing cravings and all of those things that we all experience is that mindfulness key and being present when we're eating and asking ourselves those questions, as you mentioned, am I really hungry? Am I eating because I'm bored? Am I eating for comfort? You know, what is the reason behind it? And that is one of the best recommendations and things to practice when you're looking at weight control. And also just to eat healthier, to be thinking about the benefits and the power that that food can give you by eating it. And so when you look at your plate, it's like, wow, okay, I've got these vegetables on here. When I'm eating those things are really helping me, as we mentioned, reduce the inflammation. They're helping to get rid of some of those free radicals. It's not just that broccoli sitting on the plate, although that's what it looks like. Mm-hmm. It's really more than something to eat. And being mindful is very important in so many practices in our life. So I'm so glad that you brought that up.
Yeah, no, and I love that when you're looking at it, really thinking of, is it helping or hurting your body? What is it doing? And I think when it does, we really look at it more as, how is our food serving us? And really being aware of that, I think it can totally shift.
Yeah, you know, I think that word even, you know, we use eating so much, and of course I use it every day, time and time again in my practice, but it's like, it's really nourishing, I think maybe a better word, nourishing or nurturing ourselves with the foods that we're taking in, rather than saying, oh, I'm just going to eat this, you know, real quickly and get on, or I didn't eat, or whatever. It's like, did you take time to really nourish or nurture yourself with the foods that you were eating?
Oh, I love the way you put that, and it's funny because we really think of that with our children, mm-hmm. and we want them to eat healthy, yet oftentimes as adults, we don't take that same kind of time for ourselves, and yet we're the role model for the future generations and all the children, whether we have children or we have grandchildren or people around us. We're really that role model, and I think it's so important to not just say to do it, but show them how to do it.
Yes, and that's really, you know, what we find is that leading by example is the best way to get people to eat certain foods. And so as parents, your children love to imitate the things that you do. Sometimes we don't want them to imitate those things. But when we're doing it in terms of eating certain foods, they're like, wow, you know, my mom's eating that. I want to try that. I want to see what that is. So that leading by example is so very, very important. And we are the ones that are setting the stage for our children and what they eat. I have so many clients that come in who are mothers of younger children, and they are being so careful with what they're feeding their children and, you know, making sure that they're getting their fruits and vegetables. And then when I, you know, explore with them, they're not doing it for themselves because they're putting so much time into what they're doing for their children. And how nice is it to be able to have everyone doing the same thing, to have that supportive network and kind of helping each other out? I think that's so important. And being a parent, you have so many responsibilities and so many things, commitments and all of those things. It's like, okay, we want your body to, again, just like that car, be at peak performance. So if you are eating the things that are going to give your body that optimal performance, you're going to be able to handle all of those other commitments and responsibilities as a parent perhaps a little bit easier.
Absolutely. And I would challenge adults and moms, you know, because we have a lot of women listening, to really think. If you say you're tired, you're out of energy, you can't think clearly, to really take a step back and look at what you're putting in your body, because I'm pretty confident in saying if you're saying those things, there's, you know, probably things that you're doing that are making you feel that way, and you could make really some simple shifts. We talked about that a little bit ago. It doesn't really take a lot, but a little bit of tweaking, and it can make a big difference on the results you're getting.
Oh, I agree totally. It's like, okay, if you're feeling tired, number one, you know, there are many things that contribute to that, but let's say when you're feeling tired, the first thing you might reach for would be, oh, I'm going to have a soda with that caffeine and sugar and give me that energy. And what's happening with that is it's making your blood sugar go up very quickly. You get that rush of energy, but then it drops so quickly that then you're back in that slump right where you were. So to include types of meals where you've got some nice slow absorbing carbohydrates, which might be those whole grains, or their fresh fruit or vegetables, and then including some nice lean proteins with that, that gives you the ultimate in terms of sustaining your energy. It gives you nice, sustained energy, keeps your blood sugar pretty even, and so those things can make a big, big difference in the way that you feel. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, oftentimes if we're frustrated or stressed, we might reach for some of those sweets items or those comfort foods, and again, at the moment it seems like this is really going to help me, but then afterwards, it's that not having the energy, feeling guilty because you ate that, and you should never feel guilty about foods. There are so many repercussions after that. So to be on top of it to begin with, or to know how to act when those things are happening, what to reach for, what behaviors to have, can really make a difference in the way that you feel.
Absolutely. So are there some specific guidelines for how much of our diet should be plant-based versus animal-based?
Yes, you know, when we look at plant-based, I really want to emphasize, we're not talking that you have to be vegan or vegetarian or eat only raw foods. Plant-based means that a majority of your foods come from plant sources. Again, there's still room to include animal proteins. You can still use some meats and poultries and fish and those types of products. But what we're looking at, the universal message, if you look at many different eating patterns, which have found to be really helpful for managing diseases and preventing diseases, things like a Mediterranean way of eating, which emphasizes a lot of plant foods and healthier fats, the DASH diet, which looks at controlling hypertension, is based on 8 to 10 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. If we look at the MIND diet, which again is looking at preventing Alzheimer's based on plant foods, even when we look at some of the paleo diets, the carbohydrates that are being recommended are a lot of vegetables. So what we look at is, and the dietary guidelines, I can't forget those, it just came out in 2015. So what we're looking at is we can have specific guidelines like, okay, it's 2.5 cups per day of vegetables for adults and 1.5 to 2 cups of fruits per day. But sometimes I think that gets to be too tedious. We don't have time to measure everything out. So if you just look at your plate and you see that half of it comes from vegetables and some fruit, a quarter of it from some whole grains, and then a protein source, that way you can easily visualize it, and you can be meeting those guidelines. So in the morning, if you get up, it's like, okay, do I have any vegetables or fruits in that meal? No. How could I add some in? Oh, maybe I could do a vegetable omelet. Maybe I could be doing something a little bit more savory. Maybe I could put vegetables in my oatmeal. Maybe I could be doing a smoothie that has some vegetables and fruits in it and some protein. Maybe I can be doing some yogurt and putting some fruit in there. So it's looking at each one of those meals or snacks, and do I have a component in there that is a fruit or a vegetable or a whole grain? And not forgetting that the importance of using plant-based fat. So for using some oils like olive oil or expeller pressed canola oil, some nuts or seeds or avocado, these are great sources of plant foods as well. And again, for animal sources, it can be some lean protein. So perhaps it is some fish or some wild fish or some skin poultry, or you can certainly do some plant-based proteins as well, where it might be some beans or tofu or something along that line.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of it really has to do with shifting the way you think. We usually start our morning during the week with a breakfast smoothie, you know, and we've got some fruit in it and we have some fresh greens and you know, so it's really important to make sure that, you know, we get out of our own way, because oftentimes we say, oh, it doesn't look good. And sometimes if you look at the color, you think it doesn't taste good. But it really is very good and very healthy. And we get a lot of fruits and vegetables starting it that way. And I love the way that you say that eating more plant-based does not mean you have to be vegan, vegetarian, or raw. Because I think that's a misconception, that people think that if you eat more plant-based, that's what you have to do. And the most important thing is finding what works for you.
Yes, and so I love it. So do you like that shake in the morning now, that smoothie?
I do.
How do you feel after you drink that?
Oh, I feel so much better. You know, the funny thing for me, and I should have known this, it's like it's one of those things. We used to put some protein in it, and I was having all sorts of problems with my stomach after that. So I said it must be the smoothie. But what I realized was it was the type of protein I was putting in there. So now we go with like a pea based, and because that doesn't upset me. So, you know, I made the assumption that it was the smoothie that wasn't agreeing with me, too many fruits and vegetables, but it wasn't. It was something I was putting in it. And, you know, the kids love them too. So it's, you know, it's really good. You know, they love the vegetables and the fruits, and it's a great way to expose them to some different things also.
Yes, and sometimes they don't realize all the fruits and vegetables they're getting in there when they're drinking. They just think it's really good. Oh, here's my smoothie. And they don't maybe realize that there are some vegetables in there that maybe it was sitting on their plate. They might not eat them. So it's a great way to do that. And also, I appreciate you saying, wow, already I've got, you know, so many servings in, and it's only, you know, 8 or 10 o'clock in the morning. It really does set you up to do well for that day by getting those fruits and vegetables in early and making it so simple. You know, when it's complicated, then we're not going to do it. We don't want to do things that are complicated. And so just having maybe the night before where you get those fruits and vegetables together, they're all ready to go, or maybe you buy them and you put them in little bags and put them in your freezer, and then you just pull that out and throw that into your blender when you're making them. Make it simple so that you're going to do that. And, you know, sometimes people think the cost of eating healthy is astronomical, and so that prohibits them from doing that. But some of those things, again, if you're buying some seasonal and local fruits and vegetables, they can be very economical. Again, maybe it's more expensive to buy the ones that are already packaged, the frozen vegetables and fruits, so you just take them yourself and put them into your own Ziploc bags and have them ready to go. There are so many ways that you can make shortcuts so that it's both quick and that it's not too costly.
Absolutely. We need to take our final break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about carbohydrates, because I think that's one of those things that's also misunderstood. So I hear people say, I can't eat carbs. Well, they don't realize there's good carbs and there's bad carbs or not as healthy. And so I'd love to talk about that just a little bit and then maybe have you share some examples of some people that have really shifted and what it's done for them.
Okay.
This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maish Seibel, a leading authority on women's wellness and menopause. A recent article in the New England Journal of Medicine found that most women are confused or afraid of estrogen, and many doctors aren't comfortable treating them. My new book, called The Estrogen Window, just hit number one bestseller status on Amazon. Find out what women are so excited about. Order your copy now at estrogenwindowbook.com and become a partner in your healthcare.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Terry Taylor, and this has been one of the fastest hours I've had in a long time. We're having such a great conversation on healthy eating. Terry is an oncology nutritionist and has such an expertise in healthy eating, and if you've missed any of the previous segments, you absolutely want to go back because she simplified so many of the complicated topics in health and nutrition and really talked about the importance of taking care of yourself. And before the break, we were talking about that eating more plant-based foods, you don't have to be a vegan, vegetarian, or eat raw. And one of the other things you talked about was eating more carbohydrates. And I'd love to have you just talk about that for a minute, Terry, because so many people think that they can't eat carbohydrates. They hear it and they think it's a bad word, and it really isn't.
That's right. There's so much confusion out there now, and it's like, you know, oh, before it was eat carbs, and it was like don't eat carbs, and what kind of carbs, and it's just so confusing for everyone, and so hopefully we can get a little bit of clarity on that topic. As you mentioned, there are differences in types of carbohydrates. So we have carbohydrates that are more simple carbohydrates, which are the ones, as I mentioned, that are absorbed very quickly in the body, raise the blood sugar very quickly, and at the same time, promote your body to produce more insulin to bring the blood sugar down, and then that extra insulin in the system can make other hormones attach to it and, again, potentially make cancer cells grow or make other issues come about with insulin insensitivity and all those kinds of things. So when we look at those simple carbohydrates, those are more the white flour, white sugar, more processed types of carbohydrates. And then we have another side, which we call complex carbohydrates. Those are the ones that are more slowly absorbed. So when we eat things like a brown rice instead of a white rice, whole grain pasta instead of white pasta, if we eat a fresh fruit instead of drinking just a plain juice, what happens is that way the blood sugar does not go up as quickly when you eat those slower digesting carbohydrates, so the body doesn't have to produce much insulin, so it alleviates the issue of more insulin in the system, creating some imbalance and creating some potential for cancer cell growth and other types of things like diabetes. And so when we look at carbohydrates, we want to purchase the ones and primarily use the ones that are the slower digesting ones, the whole ones, the complex carbohydrates. So using those whole grain products like a whole grain bread, meaning that actually the first ingredient on that label is a whole grain, so whole wheat or another whole grain like oats or corn, because sometimes things like multigrain could be just a bunch of simple or refined carbohydrate types of grains. So you're looking for that word whole. And then naturally things that would be complex carbohydrates would be the fresh fruits, the vegetables, including those as your types of carbohydrates, beans, legumes, those types of beans. The other thing is that when you combine some protein and or some fat along with that carbohydrate, it keeps that blood sugar much more even, and it does give you that better energy and less chance of those inflammatory hormones going out. So I think the problem has been, number one, people have not been focused on doing more of the less processed whole food type of carbohydrates. They've been using more of the processed white flour types, and that's what has led to so many concerns as far as health goes. There was a big craze before where everything was low fat, thinking that fat was the culprit, and what happened was we replaced those fatty foods with low-fat processed foods, and many times those low-fat processed foods were ones that then had white flours in them. They added sugars to them, and that really negated the whole benefit of eating the low-fat. So I think what we're looking at now is we want to make sure that we're using some good fats and some lean protein and then these complex or whole real food carbohydrates together.
Well, and that's why I think it's so important. And I know when I heard you talk, you showed about label reading, and we're really showing people packaging and things to look at. And I think it's really important that people learn to read labels, because going away from fat. So you say, okay, it's low fat, but the flavor and the things in it come from something else. So it's, you've got to look at the fat, you've got to look at the sugar, you've got to look at what's in what you're eating, and then make a choice of whether it's the right thing for you.
Yes, and when we talk about labels, that is another totally confusing area, very confusing area. Hopefully at some point it's a little bit better as labels change, but that can be a whole talk in itself. But when we look at labeling, I think one of the most important things to do is first look at the ingredients, not even the numbers that are on the label, but what's actually in that food. And, again, if it's something that does have grains in it, is it whole grain types of carbohydrates, what kind of fats are in there? Are you seeing processed fats? Are you seeing partially hydrogenated fats? Are you seeing processed sugars like high fructose corn syrup? Some of those things. Is sugar the first ingredient? Those are the things, the ingredients on that package are going to give you the best advice, or the best guidance, I guess, would be appropriate to say, as to if that's a good food. Does it have a lot of colorings in it? Does it have a lot of chemicals in it? Those are things that you don't want. Is it a food that doesn't even need a label? If you're looking at a fruit or a vegetable, you don't have food labels on there because there aren't any things that are chemicals in there. So those are things you're looking at, and do you choose to buy organic or not? Do you choose to buy grass-fed meats or not? Those are things that to take in consideration in terms of your budget, your availability. Number one, are you getting the quantity of those fruits and vegetables in as primary number one thing? Because it takes a certain quantity to get the best health benefits. Another very confusing thing on labels is that whole sugar issue. And, we look at labels and it lists the sugar, but the sugar could also be part of the lactose that's in the carbohydrate. If it's a yogurt, it could be, if it's a juice, it could be the fruit that's in there. So looking more again at where those sugars are coming from, because sugars are very, very confusing on labels right now, because it's not delineating between added sugars and things that are naturally found in those products.
That's a great reminder, because it's not all bad, and I think that's one of the reasons that people just look at certain parts of it and they say, I can't have it, but they're not really asking the right questions. So I love your recommendation to look at the ingredients first. And I always tell people to make sure you turn over the package, because all of the things that are on the front are the marketing claims. Those are the reasons they want you to buy it. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily good for you.
Exactly. You can see the most healthy granola bar, it looks like, on the front. Oh, look at all those grains and stuff. And then you turn it over and, wow, there's like no fiber even in that product. So, and it's like, no real fruit in it at all. So that's a really good point. And also I want people to understand that you can still buy convenience foods. It doesn't mean everything has to be made from scratch. There are certainly a lot of convenience foods out there that are totally acceptable. So it's like, if I need to buy brown rice that's already cooked and I put it in the microwave, that's great. night if I need to buy some frozen oatmeal that I just heat up and the only ingredients in there are oats, that's fine. You know, or I need to buy quinoa that's pre-rinsed, or I need to buy some frozen vegetables. They're still going to have the health benefits. It doesn't all have to be fresh because when they pick them, they're picked at their peak, and then they preserve the nutrients in there. So there are ways that you can still do this in a convenient way without missing out because you don't have the time. And many times in a recent survey by the American Institute for Cancer Research, they were looking at why aren't people actually doing these things, eating more plant foods? And the three main reasons they gave was, number one, they didn't like them. So hopefully we've gotten over that. And number two would be cost and time. So some of those convenience items that are just real foods that can be quickly made are certainly still a good choice.
They are. And, you know, we keep for our smoothies and certain things, we keep frozen fruits in the freezer. I keep frozen vegetables in the freezer. And what I found, and yes, they are a little bit more expensive when I buy them, but what I find is they actually cost me a lot less in the long run because when I buy it fresh, you don't always eat it before it goes bad. And so what I find is if it's frozen, I can use exactly what I need and there is no waste. Otherwise, you end up buying things and you forget about them or you don't use them before they go bad and you're just throwing it away. So it's oftentimes we think of like the initial cost, but we don't look at how we're actually using the food.
That is such an important point. We all have these great intentions, and then it's like, oh, yeah, you pull out your drawer, your crisper in your refrigerator, and it's like, oh, I forgot I had that broccoli that's been in there for 2 weeks or something. I've lost probably the nutritional value, and I've lost my money on that. So, again, some of those things like the frozen fruits and vegetables are really a healthy and economical choice for you.
They are. Well, I've really enjoyed our time together. It's gone by so fast. Can you tell our listeners how they can learn more about you and what you offer?
Oh, it's my pleasure. You know, again, my passion is really helping people to sort these things out and tailor a program to them. So I am actually at the Virginia G. Piper Cancer Center at Honor Health, which is at 92nd Street in Shea here in Scottsdale, Arizona. We do have a website, www.honorhealth.com, and you can go on there and find our services. We also have a healthy recipe of the month on there. And also we offer classes. We didn't really get into that too much yet, but we offer a monthly community free cooking class. It's called Eat Real. And so it's real food, real ingredients for real health. And so we always have a topic. It's the second Wednesday of the month from 6 to 7:30 in the evening. And it's for anybody. And when you come, we have myself talking about the nutritional component. We have a dietitian who is also a chef or a cooking coach who does food demos, and so that way you can taste new foods, you can ask a lot of questions and interact with the people that are there, get a lot of support with that, and then also try them, so then you'll know going home, gee, would I like to do that or not? And that class is free, and it is on our www.honorhealth.com website. If you go under events and classes, you can register there.
Well, thank you. And I'd love to ask you as we end our conversation, can you give our listeners just one action item that they can implement in the next week to start creating a healthy future for themselves and the ones they love?
I would challenge everyone that's listening to go out there, go to wherever they go, their farmer's market, their grocery store, wherever they buy their produce. I would like them to buy one new vegetable or fruit and give that a try.
Oh, I love that. Well, thank you so much for everything you've shared today. It's been a wonderful conversation, and I know we could go for many more hours, but thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for all that you do, Janelle. You are offering such an impactful service and bringing so many really great professionals to your show, and I really commend you, and I hope that you'll continue to do this for a long time and hopefully invite me back.
I would love to. Thank you so much. So until next week, remember that even small changes can make a positive difference to your health and your life. Healthy choices you make every day add up over time to create a healthy future for yourself and your family. Be sure to join me each week as we continue the conversation on how to build a healthier relationship with food and with yourself. And I, again, invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and be part of the conversation. Click on our Facebook link and share your thoughts and questions about today's conversation. Share what new fruit or vegetable you're going to be trying. Share what you loved about our conversation. Take care and have a great and healthy week. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. Each week at this time, we bring you straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Join us next Thursday and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the EWN Radio Network. To get a replay of this week's show